This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together. Our first reading is from Proverbs, the 8th chapter, 1 through 4, and then 22 through 31. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to have all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, and the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race." Listen for the word of the Lord in this reading. Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, 12 through 15. Jesus said to the disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Hear the word of the Lord in this reading. I wonder, what sort of world do you live in? Is it a deterministic world where every effect has a discernible cause, a world which has really no meaning beyond its own existence? Or do you live within a world fertile with meaning, a world which invites you to align yourself with its very structure? That was the discussion I had last week at lunch with a friend. I've always made it a policy to cultivate friendships with people smarter than I am, which isn't hard. And this friend is certainly that. He had much to say about how we conceive of the world in which we live. I want you to think about the two sorts of worlds he was describing as I tell you, frankly, the tale of how this sermon was found. After I tell you the tale, ask yourself again, what sort of world do you live in? Here's how it happened. Customarily, I begin my week on Monday by reading the text for the next Sunday. I read it slowly and with concentration, and usually a thought of some sermonic direction will come to me. Last week, I got bupkis. None of the texts spoke to me. I was living in an empty world, devoid of meaning, and I couldn't see which way to go. So I did the only courageous thing. I put the sermon out of my mind and went to do errands that Kathy had me do. Well, as it happens, I drove past that construction on US 52 in Ohio. To clear up that huge rock slide, they're using these gigantic baskets made of rebar and filled with soil, which will, if I understand it correctly, become a barrier to further rock slides hitting the roadway. That's the way they build bridge pilings, too. First, a cage of rebar is built and then placed, and then concrete is poured on top of it. Apparently, concrete is by itself isn't sufficiently strong, and the internal structure of that rebar is needed to keep the whole thing from falling down. Well, since the next thing that I did was drive across the bridge, supported by that same concrete and rebar, I was pretty happy somebody had thought that whole thing through. But I also realized how rarely I ever thought about what's holding me up as I go across the bridge. My very life depends on it, but I never give it a moment's thought. What if life, I thought, what if life, the universe, and just everything has an internal structure which supports and sustains it? I had sort of a vague notion that I might have found a sermon, something about God supporting us or something. I got the first surprise of the week, though, when I pulled into the chapel of St. Arbuck's a few days later, parked, and looked at the car next to me, which announced that it was being driven by a bridge inspector. What are the odds? I'd been thinking about the internal structure of bridges, and here's a bridge inspector. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. I rushed in and introduced myself to the guy and asked him to tell me about bridge inspection. I thought this was the place that I could find some way to tie these vague notions of God supporting us and rebar and whatnot, and he would be able to tell me some stuff about that that I could use. But no. To my very great surprise, he went all preacher on me. Here's what he said. Bridge inspection is like reading the Bible, he told me. Both have to be done with intentionality. The crack that brought down the Silver Bridge was less than 1/16 of an inch wide. If you had looked at that bar without special testing, you would not have seen the crack. When it went, it put more stress on the next bar and the next, and each failed until the whole bridge fell. If you read the Bible superficially, you'll miss something important until your whole faith will come crashing down the first time you are stressed. Okay? I mean, can you believe it? Every turn I made, the world and the people and things within it were bringing me a sermon. Now, what sort of world do you live in? One that would explain away this remarkable series of events as just random coincidence, meaningless in themselves, or one which you see the very structure of the world, the sustaining rebar, if you like, holding it up, speaking to me through these events to bring me this sermon. What is the reality of this situation? Now, today is Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday doesn't commemorate an event like Christmas or Easter does, but a reality, the Holy Trinity. We seem to have a bit of trouble with that word reality. We imagine that we live in the real world and God lives up there in heaven from whence he comes to judge the quick and the dead. We see the world and heaven as two disconnected things. But that's like trying to take the rebar out of the bridge structure, thinking you could still drive over it. First of all, you don't have the power to do that. Secondly, the bridge would fall down if you did. If we think of ourselves as living in, quote, quote, reality, while God presides over something else, we've made a very great mistake. Was my remarkable week reality or something else? The reality of my week was that I was tasked with coming up with a Trinity Sunday sermon. I wasn't doing very well, but then I was shown some construction in Ohio, of all places, which revealed hidden structure to me. The vision of hidden structure made me think about the possibility of describing our world as having a hidden structure, which supports it, even though we're very rarely aware of it. Then I thought about bridges being supported by hidden rebar, and drove across the bridge to a completely unexpected meeting with a bridge inspector who happened to have a gift for preaching. What are the odds? Just as with my initial question about what sort of world you live within, there are two explanations that occur to me. One explanation is that it's all coincidence, random acts that just came together. The other explanation is that there is a hidden structure to life. Not just to life, but life, the universe, and everything. And that hidden structure brought these events together to help me find this sermon. Two fundamentally different explanations. My lunch meeting with my smart friend was the final piece of this remarkable week because he helped me find some language to describe what I needed to talk about. He told me there are two strands of thought informing contemporary Western culture. One strand is that of the hero. The hero acts through his character and his courage to bring meaning to a meaningless world. The other strand is that of the saint. The saint strives to identify the world's essence and to bring it to human awareness. The hero imposes meaning on a meaningless world. The saint brings the fullness of God's creation to the attention of all humanity. Which sort of world do we think we live in? A pointless world which finds meaning only through human activity and accomplishment, or a transcendent world whose structure has existed for all time and which, if we will pay attention and align ourselves with it, will grant us a blessing? For most of humanity, the twin bridges over the Ohio River provide a safe, convenient, and comfortable way across the river. They glide from Kentucky to Ohio and from Ohio to Kentucky back and forth so effortlessly that they never have a thought for the structure underneath. By contrast, the bridge inspector views the bridge through much different eyes. The bridge inspector is always aware of the structure, no matter how smooth the roadway, and is committed to the care of the bridge first and foremost. Now, I don't want to push this analogy beyond reason, but Jesus said to his disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." The bridge inspector spends his life with the Spirit of truth. He knows of structure. He knows that a failure of even a single I-beam can bring down the whole bridge. So he treats each I-beam, no matter how trivial or inconsequential, with love and respect. The bridge inspector is committed to the welfare of every rivet, every bar, every bit of the roadway. The bridge inspector, because of what he knows, views the bridge with eyes of love. I don't want you to leave here thinking that I'm trying to tell you that God is everything. That kind of thinking just leads to wandering around behind the bushes worshiping lightning bugs. What I do want you to encourage you to think about is that God has granted his creation a structure to which we can align ourselves and has given it into our care. It is an enormous responsibility to live in God's world like the bridge inspector does, viewing each person you encounter, each piece of the bridge, with love and concern. But that is what we're called to do. Amen. Please join with me as we affirm our faith from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. My smart friend is married to an even smarter wife. This week she posted a review of a book titled The Book of Awesome. It remarks, quick, what does the cool side of the pillow have in common with finding money in a coat pocket? Answer, they both rank among the little things in life that bring us the most joy. Sure, the major milestones leave their marks. How often do they occur, though, and what sustains us in between those times? She and this book suggests that there is nothing that happens in the world that you should not pay attention to. When things break our way, it is wise to pay attention, and I agree. Our understanding of our relationship with God is one based on love. You are loved, I am loved. The world in which we live isn't a hollow, meaningless coincidence. God has built it with a structure, and that structure is love. The bridge inspector knows that. He knows there is no rivet so trivial that he will not pay attention. He responds in kind. As you leave from here, be a good bridge inspector. May God bless you in all you do. May your eyes be open to his everlasting presence. And God's people said, amen.